Today's shiur is Daf Chaf, and we will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, approximately 9 lines from the bottom. We continue with the shailas that Abaye asked of Rava regarding the Yemudim, regarding these L-shaped posts that are put in the corner of the Pasei Bros. Bamina Abaye Mirava. So Abaye asked from Rava, Chitzis Akonim, if we have a partition of poles, Kona Pox Mishloisha, each pole is within 3 tfachim of the other. Nidim Mishum Diyomir Alav, will that be considered a Diyomir or not? This is diagram 130 on page 44, the top right. And the way the Ritva explains the Gemara's question is that although we learned in the previous parak that when we have poles that are within 3 tfachim of each other, it's considered a legitimate mechitza, it's considered a legitimate partition, explains the Ritva, perhaps only in an enclosed area like a chatzar, there it will be acceptable such a mechitza that relies on lavud. But here, since we're dealing with Pasei Bros, which to begin with is a very large kula, as we learned at the beginning of our perek, we're dealing with a situation of porutz meruba la'aymit, perhaps Chazal were not further makel in allowing such an inferior partition to be sufficient. Amalei, so Rava responds with a proof from a brisa. It says in a brisa, Tenesua Hayisham Ilon, if there was a tree, a gedder, or a fence, a chitz sakonim, or a fence made out of these poles, nidim shim deyomid, all of these situations are considered a deyomid. My laugh. Isn't the case of kana pach mishloisha? Isn't the case of chitz sakonim a situation where you have these poles that are within 3 tefachim of each other, and the brayse is telling us that that's a legitimate deyomid? Says the Gemara, loy. You know what the brayse is referring to? It's referring to a case of gudrisa dekani, so which is shown in the bottom left. And the way Rashi explains it is that there's a tree, there's a tree trunk on the bottom which puts it together, and then they separate into separate poles on top. So since you have a base that's together, that's why it's considered not the same as a chitzis hakonim. How much of a base do you have? According to Rashi, you have a base of 3 tefachim in which they're together. According to Ritva, the base is 10 tefachim. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi Haine Ilon. That's a tree. If it has a trunk, that's a tree, and a tree is already mentioned in this brisa. So according to Ritva, that says that the base is 10 tefachim by Gudus of the Kanei, the Gemara's question is very obvious. Who says a tree has to be a very tall tree to be considered a tree? If you have 10 tefachim of a base, that's a tree. The fact that it separates on top, what's the difference? But the Rishonim explain, even according to Rashi, that says that the base is only 3 tefachim, that's still sufficient base to be considered a tree. So why does the brisa, if chitzis hakonim refers to gudrisa dekani, why do I have to mention both gudrisa dekani and ilon? Velamai, what are you going to tell me? That what does chitzis hakonim mean? Kana pox mishloisha. When you have him within 3 tefachim of each other, these poles. Says the Gemara, hain together. Then that's the exact same halacha as a fence. Why do you have to mention both a fence and a gedder? Because as the Rashi explains, since we're saying now that lavud, obviously we hold, closes it up, and it's considered like a full-fledged fence, so why should I say gedder and chitzis hakonim? What do you have to say? Trei gavni gadar. That although halachically they're the same, they're still mentioned separately because physically they're different. So hachanami, I'll tell you that the brisa, when it says chitzis hakonim, refers to gudrisa dekani. We asked, it's the same as a tree. Hachanami, trei gavni ilan. The brisa gave us 2 types of trees. Ikadamri. Others say, Gedrisa, the Kani coming by late. The question Abaye asked Rava was regarding Gedrisa Dekanim, not regarding Chitza Dekanim. So the Gaon Yaakov explains, according to the first version of the Gemara, if we had to choose which is a better Mechitza, we would choose a Gedrisa Dekanim, which is a better Diyomid. According to the Ikka D'Amri, if we had to choose which is a better Diyomid, we would say Chitza Dekanim. What is the advantage and disadvantage of each? So the Gaon Yaakov explains, the Gedrisa Dekanim has the advantage, as we said a moment ago, that it has this solid base. You don't have to rely on Lovet at the base. But it has a deficiency that it doesn't look like a Diyomid. It doesn't look like an L-shaped corner. On the other hand, the Chitza Dekanim has the advantage that it does look like this L-shaped Diyomid. But it has a disadvantage that it doesn't have a solid base. Rather, it's separated all the way to the bottom. And now the Gemara is assuming in the Ikka D'Amri that the Gedrisa, that the Chitza Dekanim is a better Diyomid, and the Gemara wants to know Gedrisa Dekanim coming by the way. He wants to know what's going to be the halacha regarding Gedrisa Dekanim. The Gedrisa Dekanim, Mai, what is the halacha? Amalei Tenesua, Hayisham Gedra Ilon Chitza Dekanim. In all these cases, need the Mishum Diyomid. Mai Laf is in the case of Kanim of the Gedrisa Dekanim, and the Brisa says that's an acceptable Diyomid. Says the Gemara, no. It's talking loy. It's talking about a case of kana kana pachs mishloisha. Ask the Gemara, hacha hainu geder. Again, it's the same as a geder. What's the difference? Elamai, what are you going to tell me? Gedrisa Dekanim. That when it says chitza kanim, it's referring to Gedrisa Dekanim. It's the same thing as the Elon. If you're saying it's acceptable, then there's no halachic difference. Elamai is lachlameima. That even though there is no halachic difference, trei gavni ilib, the Brisa mentions two types of trees. So now you could say that it's talking about chitza sakonim, and what is the Gemara, what is the ayat says gedr also? Hachanami trei gavni gedr. So the way we leave it, we don't have any proof what is going to be the halacha regarding a chitza sakonim or a gedrisa dekanim. One of them certainly will work, but which is the one of the two that will be acceptable after learning this piece of Gemara, we don't know. Continues the Gemara. Bai minei abai mirava. If you have a situation where a chotzer, and this is diagram 131, enters into the area, a chotzer enters into the area of the pasabros. And we have to review something that we've mentioned a number of times in this mesechta. When you have two chatzeres, two courtyards open to each other, the halacha is that not only that, since they're open to each other, you're not allowed to carry from one to the other, and even in each one, unless an Erev Chatzeres is made between the two Chatzeres. That is the halacha when you have two Chatzeres adjacent to each other. The Gemara Shaila here now is, not that we have two Chatzeres adjacent to each other, but rather we have a Chotzer and an area of Pasa Baros adjacent to each other. And as the Gemara, as the Ritva explains the Gemara's question, since the area of a Pasa Baros is not really an area where people dwell, it's something that's very temporary, Abaya wants to know, is that going to be considered like a Chotzer, albeit that it's a temporary dwelling, or since it's temporary, it won't be considered like a Chotzer, and therefore there's no requirement to carry. What's going to be the halacha regarding carrying from it to the area of Bein HaPasim, or Bein HaPasim toichle, from the Bein HaPasim to it? Amalei. So he said, mutter. It's mutter. And Ritva explains that since it's not an area that's used on a permanent basis, it was only constructed for Oyler Regolim, that's why it's not considered a permanent area, and it's not like two chatzeres open to each other. Continues Abayin asking, Shtayimai, what's going to be the halacha when two chatzeres open to the area where we have the Pasa Baros, which is diagram 132? And the Ritva explains further that even though we just explained that what a Pasa Baros is not considered a permanent dwelling area, and therefore it's not considered like a one chatzar open to another chatzar. Here, where you have two chatzeris opening, so you have a lot of things going on, and there's going to be a requirement to have some sort of an Erev to carry from one chatzar to the other, perhaps Chazal will also now be machmer in on the Pasa Beroas area. Amalei, so Rava answered, Asr. It's Taka Asr. That if there's no hope that it's Asr unless an Erev is made between the two chatzeris. Amrafuna, Rafuna says, Shtaim Asurim, that if you have two chatzeris, they're Asr, Vafil Irvu. As is shown in picture 133, that there's an opening between the two chatzeris, and the two chatzeris that are neighboring each other took advantage of that opening and made an Erev, still, it will not, that Erev will not be effective. Why? As we're going to learn in a moment, because there's a Pasa Beroas in front of it. What are we concerned, says Rav Huna? Gzeirah Shem Yomru Erev Moya L'Bein HaPasim. We're concerned that people are going to think that an Erev works for an area where for Pasa Beroas. And as Rashi explains, that we've learned that there's a concept of Erev Chatzeris between two Chatzeris. We learned there's a concept of Shtuf Mavaz, that a Chatzer or Chatzer Rois and a Mavi could create a situation that you could carry from the Mavi to the Chatzer and vice versa through Shtuf Mavaz, which work very similar to an Erev's concept. But now, says Rashi, as explained by the Mefarshim, when did Chazal allow for these techniques to work? An area that's a Mavi, an area that's a Chatzar, which has proper mechitzas, which has proper walls. Here we're dealing with an area of Pasa Beroas, which is Paretz Meruba La'aymid. It's mostly open. Therefore Chazal did not allow for Shtufim Vois or Eruva Chatzeris certainly to work, and that's why Rav Huna says that we're concerned people are going to think that it works even for Pasa Beroas, and that's why Chazal wa Machmer. The Meiri picks up on this a little more. He says a Mavi and a Chatzar are somewhat private areas. A Chatzar is a private courtyard. A Mavi is open only to the area of to the people of the Chatzeris that open up to that Mavi. A Pasa Beroas, by its very definition, says the Meiri, is a very public area. So since it's a very public area, because we want all the people for Oile Regolim to be able to take advantage from it, that's why Chazal were very machmeh here. The other Rishonim say different reasons why we're machmeh here. Some say we're concerned that if we're going to allow you to make a Erev where there's a Pasa Beroas, the water may dry up. And as we're going to learn in a couple of moments, if the water dries up, the Pasa Beroas is no longer effective. The Gaon Yaakov takes that even a step further, and he says that we're concerned that once you're going to rely on an area where there's Pasa Beroas to make an Erev, you may think that that type of a mechitza, just the four L-shaped corners, are always adequate, which is certainly not the case, and that's why Chazal were very machmir, according to Rav Huna, on such a case. Rav Amar, Rav disagrees with Rav Huna. He says, Erev Mutar, if the two chatzeris have an Erev between each other, then we don't have to make gzeris that Chazal, we don't have to make gzeris that people are going to think that you can make an Erev for an area of a Pasa Beroas, and that's why we're not machmer. And Ritva explains the machloikis of Rav Huna and Rav, that do we consider this a gzeir l'gzeir or not? In other words, we know that whenever Chazal make a gzeir midrabbanan, they only make one decree, they don't make another gzeir to protect the first gzeir. The whole inyan, says the Ritva, of not carrying between chatzeris, even though it's from one Rishus HaYachad to another Rishus HaYachad, is only midrabbanan. Now it says Rava, according to Ritva, we're making another gzeir. That not only are you not allowed to, we're not, not only do you have to make an Erev, but what is a concern that you're going to make the Erev in the wrong place, we're being Machmer. That's Gzeira L'Gzeira. And that's why Rabbah says there's no reason to do that. Rav Huna says the Ritva holds that this is Kula Chad Gzeira. This was all included in the original Gzeira that Chazal made regarding making a Ruvah Chatzeris, that anywhere there's a, that we are now going to make an Erev, if there's a concern that somebody's going to think that you put the Erev in that place, or that was the area that made the Erev, then the Erev is not effective. So it's not two separate Gzeiras, it's one Gzeira. But the Miri, of course, points out that even Rav Huna will agree that let's say you have these two Chatzeris, and one, the members of one chatzer were mevatel their rishus, completely gave up their rights to their area, or they sold their area to the people of the other chatzer. So now it's one chatzer under all circumstances. Even Rav Huna says the Meiri will agree in that case that you carry from the chatzer to the Pasa Baraz, because then it refers back to like pictures 131. Halachically, I only have one chatzer and one Pasa Baraz that everybody agreed was mutter. Says the Gemara, Amr Abaya, Amlay Abaya L'Rava, Tanyanim Sailach. I bring you a brisa, says Abaya to Rava, that backs up your psak. So ask the Ritva. Abaya began the Gemara with a question to Rava, what's the halacha about the Erev? And now Abaya, and Rava gave him an answer. And now Abaya has a brisa that gives an answer. Why was Abaya asked the Ritva asking questions if we have a brisa? So Ritva says that Abaya knew this brisa all along, but he did not know if the brisa was an authentic brisa. Only after he heard Rava paskening the same way as the brisa paskens did he realize that the brisa must be an authentic brisa, and therefore he asks, therefore he tells Rava, I'll tell you about a brisa. Omle Abayla Rava, Tanya the Messiah, Chatzah Shiroish Echad Nichnas Labena Pasim, which we go back to picture 131, is the Loch Mutl Tartu Metoich Labena Pasim, or Bena Pasim Metoicha. Aval Shtayim, if you have two Chatzeris, picture 132, Osir. However, continues the Brisa of a Medvar, Mamurim, Shla Irvu, if there's no air between these two Chatzeris. Aval Irvu, if there's an air between two Chatzeris, Metorim. Ask the Gemara Lame to have it to Yufta Rafuna. Isn't this Brisa a clear refutation against Rafuna? Because the Brisa says that if there's an Erev, it'll be Mutter. Answers the Gemara, Amalak Rafuna. Rafuna is going to answer you that this Brisa is not a Kasha. Because here we're talking about Hasam the Hadron Va'arvin. The Brisa is referring, as is shown in picture 134, that besides the door that exists between the two Chatzeris, we also have behind that the Pirtza, a very large opening between the two Chatzeris. So Rav Huna, as Rashi explains, will say that nobody will think that in such a situation I left the Erev and area of the Pasa Baraz. Since there's so much opening between the two Chatzeris, there's so much area where the Erev could have and should have been left, nobody's going to make the error to think that it was left in the wrong area, it was left in the Pasa Baraz. And since Rav Huna's whole concern only is that people are going to think you could put the Erev in the Pasa Baraz, here we don't have that concern. Another question. What's going to be the halacha if the water dries up on Shabbos? That means at the beginning of Shabbos we had a well, and we relied on the Pasa Baraz, and now this water dries up. So Rashi explains, the Gemara Shaila is that do we say Hoyel v'Hutra Hutra? Since at the beginning of Shabbos it became Mutter, it remains Mutter, or do we say that now it's not there, so it's no longer acceptable? Now Tosfos points out that we had a similar Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin said that if we started Shabbos with two Chatzeris, with a door between them, and the Erev Chatzeris was created, and then the door fell down, the window between them fell down, however, Hutra Hutra. So why is there a Shaila here? Not only is there a Shaila, we'll see in a moment that Abaya here says that we don't say however, Hutra Hutra. So Tosfos says there's a very big difference. Tosfos says, by the case of the Chatzer, we're dealing with an area that has Mechitzos. Halachic, strong Halachic Mechitzos. That's why we say Hoyel v'Hutra Hutra. However, here we're dealing with an area that has very weak mechitzos, because they're only the parts Murba Alaymit, then Pas Baras. So we won't say Hoyav Hotcho Hotcho. The Rebbeinu Peretz has a very interesting way of looking at the Gemara Shaila. He says like this, the Shaila the Gemara is, what is the heter of Pas Baras? Is the heter of Pas Baras because I'm allowed to be allowed to carry from the well to the area of outside of the well, and therefore once the well dries up, there's no need, there's no right to have a heter? Or is the heter because that, yes, the heter, says the Rebbeinu Peretz, began in carrying from the well to outside the well, but not a heter is not only limited to carrying from the well to the area of outside the well, the heter includes carrying in the area itself, even though there's not carrying from the well to the outside that. And for that, perhaps I'll say, Hoyav Hotra Hotra. And then, answers the Gemara, answers Rava, Amalei, Klom Nas Mechitza El Beshav Mayim, the entire purpose of the Mechitza is for the water, Mayim Enkan, Mechitza Enkan. We have no more water, we have no Mechitza. And we'll learn like Rashi, that once there's no water, there's no heter. Boy, Ravin. So now Ravin asked the following question. Yov Shemayim B'Shabbos, or Bar B'Shabbos Mahu? So the way Rashi explains the Gemara's Kasha is that we started Shabbos with water. Then on Shabbos, that water dried up. And then on Shabbos itself, the water came back. So while the water dried up, as the Bible will say in a moment, there's no question that we don't have the heter pasuk baras. The question is, after the water comes back, amla baya, yof shabbos loy to bay loch, when the water's dried up, there's no question, the bay min edemar, because I already asked this shayla from Rava, or pashle dosen, and Rava said it's osur. Bar nam loy to bay loch, when the water comes back, since the pasuk baras were effective when Shabbos began, the Havle Mechitza Asui B'Shabbos, so this will be a case of Mechitza was created in Shabbos. But Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, call Mechitza Asui B'Shabbos, any Mechitza that's created in Shabbos, Bein B'Shoigi Bein B'Meza, whether it was done B'Shoigi B'Meza, Bein B'Oinus, Bein B'Ritzin, willfully or willingly, Shema Mechitza is considered a Mechitza. Ask the Gemara, V'lav, so therefore it's okay. Ask the Gemara, V'lav Itmala, didn't Rav Nachman say, Lo Shana Le Izroik, Avla Tataloi, that if a Mechitza was created on Shabbos, we're only use it l'chumra, that the area that became enclosed in Shabbos is considered Rishus HaYochid, that if somebody throws from Rishus HaRabim into that area, it's considered that he threw from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, but it's not considered l'kula, that you should be allowed now to carry within that area. So if you're saying that this is considered like a mechitza that was created on Shabbos, there should be a problem here, because this mechitza won't allow you to carry within it. Says the Gemara, Ki Itmad Rav Nachman. When the Rav Nachman say his din, that a mechitza sui b'Shabbos, we only use l'chumra, not l'kula, amazed itmar. That's when it was made b'mezid. But here, it wasn't made b'mezid. The water came down b'shoigig, so the mechitza is considered a full-fledged mechitza, both l'kula, both l'chumra. There's an interesting shaila in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, what is going to be the halacha if Reuven tells Shimon to build a mechitza? So Reuven is a mezid, he knows that it's also to build a mechitza, but Shimon is a shayig, he doesn't know you know how to build a mechitza. Will that be considered a mechitza asui b'Shabbos that we only use a l'chumra? Or since Shimon the builder was a shayig, we could be mekel and consider a mechitza both l'kula l'chumra? The Mishnah Berurah is machmer, and he says since the one that said, it makes no difference if there's any mezid involved in the construction of this mechitza, it's considered only a mechitza lechumra, not lekula. Amar Belazer. So Belazer says, Hazarig lebein pasa baras, if somebody throws from Shusha Rabim to an area enclosed to by pasa baras chayv, it's considered like he threw from Shusha Rabim to Shusha Yochid. Says the Gemara Pshita, obviously, if that area were not being considered enclosed, if it's not considered a valid halachic mechitza, then you were never allowed to use it. And so the Gemara, somebody constructed an area of like pasabros and shusarabim, and then the Zarku Tachi threw from the shusarabim into that area that was now enclosed with the pasabros, says Rabbi Lozi Yechayiv. Says the Gemara, "Hanam pshit." It's also obvious. If not, that halachically it's considered a mechitza, that we couldn't just say it's considered a good mechitza for passive baros. It must be that it's halachically considered certainly a valid mechitza. Now the question is, where did Chazal allow us to rely on it, and where did Chazal not allow us to rely on it? Like Tzrich says the Gemara, "Afgav the kabbalah by rabbim." We're talking even though that this lies in the path of where people travel. Or my kamashmon, and what Rav Elazar are teaching us, that public traffic doesn't invalidate a mechitza. Ask the Maham Rav Elazar Chadazimna, that's nothing new. Rav Elazar taught us this once. The Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah, Yehuda Omer, if the way of Rishutz Rabbim goes between the Pasib Raz, you have to make sure to divert it, because otherwise they destroy the Rishus HaYochid status of the Pasib Raz. There's no need. And Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Amri Tavayu, can Hadiyachid Koichon Shemachitzis. Here the Rabbanon are showing us how strong the Pasib Baros are, that even though we've been calling them flimsy, they're so strong that even though the Derech HaRabim goes through them, they don't make it lose the status of Rishus HaYochid. So what do Rabbi Elazar have to repeat his psak? Answers the Gemara, Ima Hasam, if I only knew what that Rabbi Elazar says regarding the Chachamim, I would have thought can. He's explaining the psak of the Chachamim for Lysfirlai, but he personally doesn't agree with them. Kamash Malan, that's why we have our psak that the Gemara began now with, that not only does he know what the Rabbanan say, the Sfirlai, he agrees with them. So ask the Gemara Vilema Ha, let us just say this psak, Vilay Bay Hachim, we won't need him to explain the psak of the Chachamim. We'll know, obviously, that he agrees with the Chachamim. Answers the Gemara, Chod Meklal Chavate Etma. Really, Rabbi Elazar only made one statement. He only made the statement regarding that even if a Rishus HaRabim goes through the area of the Pasib Baros, it's mutter. Period. From that, his Talmidim explained why did he say it that way? Because he so much agrees with the Chachamim in their psak of Lo Yasu Rabim Mavakta Mechitzta. Now there's an interesting Shaila. According to the man the Omer, the Rishonim asked, that Osir Rabim Mavakta Mechitzta, that a public road passing through a Mechitza nullifies the Mechitza, so that this would be relevant even on Loch Lamaisa. Let's say you make an area with a Tzuris HaPesach, which we've learned many times in this Masechta, totally encloses a neighborhood, and now we have Osir Rabim Mavakta Mechitzta, it won't be longer effective. But the Ritva asks the question, how could there ever be a situation of Osir Rabim Mavakta Mechitzta by Pasib Baros? We learned in this parak a number of times that the maximum opening of a Pasib Baros is 13 and a third amos. But we learned earlier that a Rishus HaRabim is 16 amos wide. So how could it ever be Osir Rabim, which is 16 amos, or Mevatel Mechitzta? So Ritva answers that Osir Rabim Mevatel Mechitzta is not dependent on conditions of Rishus HaRabim. Rather, he says that any road used by the public is significant enough to nullify Mechitza, regardless of whether it conforms with all the requirements of Rishus HaRabim or not. Tosfos, at the beginning of the Masechta, and the Vav HaMeibeis, gives a different answer. He says that although a Rishus HaRabim has to be 16 amma wide, but let's say you have a Rishus HaRabim that's 16 amma wide, and it narrows at certain points. He says it's still considered Rishus HaRabim in its entire length, even at the narrow sections. So we're starting, explains Tosfos here, with a road with 16 amos most of the way. Yes, in this area of the Pasib Baros, it's obviously only 13 and a third, because the Pasib Baros by definition can't be more, but that will not make it lose its status of Rishus HaRabim. So we learned in the Mishnah, Mutar L'Hakir L'Ber, you could bring these L-shaped posts close to the wall, as long as there's enough room for the cow to stand head of, and most of the body inside the closure. Tanan Hasam. We learned in the Mishnah later in the Masechta. Lo Yamer Adam Rishus Rabim. A person is not allowed to stand in Rishus Rabim and bend forward, v'yishta b'shusha yachad, and drink b'shusha yachad. Or vice versa, b'shusha yachad, a person is not allowed to stand in b'shusha yachad, v'yishta b'shusha rabim, and drink in b'shusha rabim. Elam kein, machnis roishi v'rubai, l'makam shusaisa. Unless he puts most of his body into the place where he's drinking. Now, Tosfos asks, even if he puts most of his rosh v'rubai in the place that he's drinking, he's still going to end up taking, let's say he puts his head into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. His stomach is in Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So isn't he taking from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid? So Tosfos answers that since the water has to first go to his mouth, and his mouth is considered a makom p'tur, so that's why it's considered like you're going from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to makom p'tur, and from makom p'tur to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Ask Tosfos that we learned the Masechta Shabbos, and we will learn later in this Masechta, that you're not allowed to carry something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid by taking it through a makom p'tur. So what's Tosfos saying, asks Tosfos on himself, that the fact that the house is a makom p'tur is a heter, that shouldn't help us any. So Tosfos answers that when did Chazal make a gzeira that you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid or vice versa through a makom p'tur? Because they were concerned that if you're going to carry through the makom p'tur, you may forget and carry directly from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Says Tosfos, that gzeira was only made where that possibility exists. However, when somebody drinks water, it's impossible to drink water without the water going first to your mouth and then to your stomach. So it's always going to go first to a makom p'tur. Since it's always going to go first to a makom p'tur, Chazal didn't make the gzeira. Tosfos says a different teretz. Tosfos says that when the water comes to your mouth, it's considered noch, and therefore, since it's considered hanocha, that's considered a full-fledged end of everything. Now, when it goes from your mouth to your stomach, that's considered a new maisa, which is all in one rishus, and that's why there's no problem. Continues the Gemara. V'chein begas, the same halacha regards a wine press. That the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat produce unless Truma Maisa was removed from it. However, produce that is not yet fully processed is Osir Midrabonim to be eaten, but Mutum Midraisim. However, when Chazal said that even if it's not fully processed, you're not allowed to eat it, they only said regular consumption is Osir. But if it's eaten Derech Haroy, like a snack, then since it's not fully processed and it's only eaten as a snack, it's mutter. So the Mishnah discusses wine from which Truma Samaisis were not removed, which is in the wine press and has not yet been fully processed. So the Mishnah says that if you're drinking it Rosh Shavarubai over the wine press, that's considered Derech Haroy and it's mutter. Otherwise, it's not. Ask the Gemara. Gabi Adam Ha'amad Abai Rosh V'ruba. By person, we said that in order that he should be able to drink, he has to have most of his Rosh V'ruba in the Rishus where the water is. Gabi Parah. What's going to be our halacha? By Parah. Mi bi'in alai Rosh V'ruba alai. Do we need it or not? That it should be standing in the same Rishus. Do we have the same Chashash Ritva explains as we do by an Adam? Do we still have the same Chashash by an animal? Says the Gemara, if the person who's giving the animal to drink is holding the container and also the animal, I'm sorry, if the person is holding the container but not holding the animal, there's no question that you have to have the animal, most of the animal in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, most of the animal in the area of the Pasa Baros, to allow you to give it to drink. Ki tabaylach, the question is, heichad anokim manav anokat law. The question is, if you're holding the container and the animal, mai, do we still require that most of the animal be inside the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or don't we? So Tvar explains that in a case where he's not holding the container and he's not holding her, there's no question that it's mutter, because he's not close to the animal. Furthermore, says the Ritva, if he's not holding the container and he's holding her, it's certainly mutter. The Gemara, as we're going to learn, says the Ritva, is going to be speaking about two situations. One is where he's holding the animal and the container, and one is where he's holding the container and not holding her. And right now, the Gemara's question, as we learn it, is when you're holding the animal and the container, do you still need that it should be Rosh Yevarubai in the Pasabaros or not? Amalei, so answered. Tenesua, isn't it what we learned in the Mishnah? We learned in the Mishnah, Ovachte Paro Rosh Yevarubai Bifnei V'Shoytzer, that you have to have the Paro mostly inside the area at the Pasabaros to drink. My laugh, isn't the Mishnah talking about a case, the Nakat Law, the Nakat Mana, he's holding the animal and the Keli, and still the Mishnah requires that the animal should be inside Rosh Yevarubai in the Pasabaros. Says the Gemara, no, the Mishnah is talking about a case, the Nakat Mana of Lay Nakat Law. He's only holding the container, but he's not holding the animal. But according to this explanation, if Rosh Yevarubai are inside, he's allowed to hold the container even without holding on to the animal. Ask the Gemara, is this so? The Chinakat Mana, Vleinakat Law, if he's holding the container, even though he's not holding her, if it's Rosh Yevarubai Mishari, V'tanya, Leimala Adamayim, a person's and not allowed to draw water, V'yitim B'Shabbos Lefnei Behemtoi, and place it on Shabbos before his animal to drink while he holds the container. Avamalhu, all he's allowed to do is draw water, v'shayfich, and pour it into on the floor, into a trough in front of the animal, v'shayfich melech, and the animal drink by itself. This brisa clearly prohibits holding the container for the animal to drink, even though there is enough room within the enclosure for its head and most of its body. Now this prohibition applies to animal that is not being held. So how could you say that the Mishnah permits holding the container for an animal that is not being held as long as it's Rosh Yevarubai inside the Mechitzis? Because as Rashi explains, the Gemara is assuming now that it's forbidden to feed an unrestricted animal inside an enclosure of the Pasabaros, even if the animal's head and most of its body are inside. And says the Gemara, Hetma lo, Amrabaya, this Bryce is talking Hocha be'evis ha'im v'rishus rabim, Gevoy yutfachim rocha dalet, which is picture 135. We have the Pasabaros, as we see. We have the Avos, which is a thraw, which is 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide. V'roish echad nichnas l'bein ha'pasim, and part of the thraw comes into the area within the boards. And the way the brisa should be understood is, a person may not fill a container from the well, hold it over the end of the thraw nearest the well, and then walk back to the animal standing at the far end while carrying the container over the top of the thraw. He's only permitted to pour water from the container into the end of the thraw, which is within the enclosure, and let the water flow to his animal that way. Why? Because of gzeira. We made a gzeira dimla chazla le'ivis demakalkal. He may notice that the thraw is defective in the Rishus Rabbim, and let's explain what that is. Here we see the two L-shaped demoidim. Then we have a wall. The area between the L-shaped demoidim and the wall is Rishus Rabbim. He may see in that area a problem with the avis. Vosleskune, he may come to fix it. He sees it's broken, he wants to fix it. V'dorelele davle b'hadei, he'll carry the barrel with him. The Kamapik Rosh Hashayachad, he's carrying from the Rosh Hashayachad. The barrel started off inside the enclosed Pasabaros, and he's carrying to Rosh Hashayachad. Ask the Gemara v'kigavna Michayev, is that Osir? V'amar of Safra, Amar of Ami, Amar of Yoichanon, ha'mefanech hafeutzer m'sovitz l'zoviv. If somebody's carrying his items from one corner of Rishus HaYachid to another corner of Rishus HaYachid, and then v'nimlach alayim v'tzien, and then he changes his mind and he carries it out to Rishus Rabbim Potter. He's not chayiv shlohoysev kira mishor rishon lakach. When he picked it up, he wasn't intending to take it out. So what are you worried that he may accidentally carry this barrel with water out to the Rishus Rabbim? He wouldn't be chayiv anyway because it wasn't an akira in the intention to carry it out. Asked Ritva, that enechanami name be chayiv midaraisa, but midrabbanan you're not allowed to do that. So he says, the Ritva, since this is not a normal situation, that he's going to find that there's a hole in the Torah, and he's going to forget himself, and carry from the Rishus HaRabim, from the Rishus HaYochid, from the Pasuk Baras area to there, it falls under the category of Gzera, and we don't have to make the Gzera. Ella, what's the concern? Zim the Masakinla. He may take the barrel with him from the Pasuk Baras area to the Rishus HaRabim, which was saying in that Chayiv, to fix the thraw. Now he'll pick it up, put it into the thraw, and then it's Kamayim Rishus Rabim Rishus HaYochid. Ikad Amri, some say the question was asked like this. Gabi Adam, regarding a person who stands in one Rishus and drinks in another Rishus, Hakamrinan the Sagale Barosh Verubai. Rosh Verubai is enough. Gabi Parah, regarding a cow, our question is, Misagale Barosh Verubai. Is it sufficient? Is that enough? Just have Rosh Ruba, says the Gemara. Heich the Nakad Man of a Nakala, when the person giving the animal to drink is holding the container and also holding the animal itself, so can't easily go out to the Rishus Rabbim, there loitet Boiloch the Sagli Rosh Ruba. Certainly Rosh Ruba is adequate. El Kit Boiloch, the Nakad Man of Loi Nakat Law. He's holding the Keli, but he's not holding the animal, Mai. And is it going to be enough with Rosh Ruba? My love, isn't it talking about the Nakat Mana? He's holding the container, the Nakat Law, and he's not holding it. And we see that Rosh Verubai is enough in such a situation. So the Mishnah is talking about the Nakat Mana of the Nakat Law. He's holding both the container and the animal. That's why Rosh Verubai is enough. And that's what makes sense. If he's holding the container, not the animal, mishari, would it be mutter? Vatanya, loimale adam, a person is now allowed to draw water, v'yitin lefnei behemtoi, and give it to his animal. This is really a repetition of what we just learned a moment ago. Avmale mishayfech, he's allowed to draw water, pour it into a thraw, v'shayf meleh, and the animal drinks by itself. This brisa forbids holding the container for an animal while it drinks within a well enclosure, even though there's enough room for a head and most of its body. This probably is talking about a case that the animal is not being held. So you can't say that the Mishnah permits such a situation. Het malos, as the Gemara, Hacha Amar Baya, there's no proof from this brisa, because this brisa is Hacha Be'evis Oyim Rishus Rabim, the Avis is in Rishus Rabim, Gevay Asar Tvach of Racha Dalet. Rosh nechnas to ben pasim and it penetrates into the ben pasim. The zim the chazloi the evis the makalkel. We're concerned that he may see the thraw is broken. The darle the davim ba'day and he's holding this container and he'll carry it mikol mapik mishus yachlo mishus rabim. Ask the gemara kegavim b'chayiv and if he would carry it would he be chayiv? V'amar of safar amar of ami and rabbi yochanan hamafana chafetz mizavus lazavus. Somebody wants to carry within mishus yachid v'dnimach lem v'tzim and then he decides to take it out mishus ram potter wash la'osakir mishar rishon lekach. His original picking up wasn't to take it out to Rishus Rabbim. Ella zindem sakala. We're concerned that he's going to carry the barrel with him to Rishus Rabbim, which won't be awesome at the Raisa, for Hadamayale, but, and I'll put it down, and then I'll pick it up to take it back to Rishus Yochid, for Kamayim Rishus Rabbim Rishus Yochid. So there's no proof. So the Gemara goes back to the first version of the Gemara's question, which was whether an animal may be given water to drink, even if most of its body is not within the enclosure. Says the Braisa Gomel Shirosh Rubim Mifnim, if a camel is Rosh Rubim Mifnim, Oysu Nois Mifnim. We could stuff it with food, well, it's inside. Says the Gemara, the Avis, force feeding an animal is command the Mokad Man of Anokla Damya. It's similar, it's equivalent, like you're holding the container and holding the animal. and still it says Kabin and Rosh of a Rubai. Says the Gemara, you can't bring a proof. Amar of Achbar of Hun, Amar of Sheishes, Shani Gomel, Hoyle Tzava Aruch. You can't bring a proof from a camel, since it has a very long neck, and its head could reach the Rishus Rabbim, even though he's holding it. Thus, therefore, Chazal were more machmer. But there's no proof to any other situation. Toshma, the Hamish Rosh Rubim Mifnim, animal that's Rosh Rubim Mifnim, Oisos Mifnim. Again, says the Gemara. But Avis, when we force feed an animal, it's commanded Nokut Monav and Nokut Law. We're holding the animal and it. Still, the Brisa says, Bein in Rosh of a Roiboy. Says the Gemara, my behemoth namadik tani. What kind of animal are we referring to? Gomel, referring to a camel. Says the Gemara, Vatanya behemoth, Vatanya Gomel. But why do we need a Brisa for animal and a camel? We already spoke about a camel. Answers the Gemara, Mida Gaba Hadodik Tanya. Were these two Brises taught together? The two Brises were taught separately. And therefore, both are referring to camel, and I don't know what's going to be a loch by any other animal like a cow, which we're discussing. Tanya Nam Hachi, Rabbi Lezer Oyser Begomel, Rabbi Lezer specifically said a gomel is Oyser, Hoyvat Savarach Aruch, because it has a long neck, and we can't bring a proof from it to any other type of animal.